Before we get started, I want to shout out our sponsors here on the BCP. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at the Englishtown Flea Market in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Blue Building. Get your wrestling stuff, retro video games, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It's our favorite store. Thank you, Heather and Dan, for sponsoring the show. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Mania Club. Established in 2015, Mania Club is a WWE-recognized community for fans with an eclectic love for both the world of professional wrestling and raising money for Connor's Cure. During WrestleMania weekend, we host the official tailgate of WrestleMania while also celebrating the life of Connor McCulloch. They're the single largest donor within the V Foundation for Connor's Cure with over $150,000 raised. Please donate and join the Facebook group over at Mania Club. Donate at jimmyv.org/maniaclub. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Shout out, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks Podcast. We're also sponsored by our friends over at Global Wrestling Family. GWF is about inclusivity and celebrating a common love for pro wrestling amongst the fans and wrestlers. T-shirts, hats, and more merch is available now. Join the group on Facebook at Global Wrestling Family and be sure to follow them on Instagram at Global Wrestling Family. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may have not seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source for information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7, all day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook at Wrestling All Day, All Night. The BCP is also sponsored by Warriors of Wrestling. Warriors of Wrestling proudly presents Intergender Warfare. It's going to be at St. Finbar Catholic Church, 1839 Bath Ave in Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 10th, featuring Miranda Eleze, Taya Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, Darius Carter, Vicious Vicky, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now at warriorsofwrestling.com, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Please welcome in our new sponsors, the Sweet Chin Musings Podcast. Sweet Chin Musings is the creation of the reigning, rarely defending, highly disputed champion of wrestling podcast, Mr. Perfect Mike Mueller and his tag team partner in crime, Luke Kudialis. SCM focuses on the in-ring products of WWE and AEW. No dirt sheet rumors here, as well as backstage news, predictions, and analysis of characters, storylines, and major pay-per-views. Old school fans, don't worry, we have you covered too with a look back on classic matches, top 10 lists, and interactive tournaments that let the fans decide who is truly the best of all time. You can find us on Facebook at Sweet Chin Musings, and be sure to check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast major streaming platforms. Let's chat our new sponsor for the podcast, R Wireless Delran in Delran, New Jersey. Expect the best. R Wireless in Delran has all your Verizon wireless needs, located on Route 130 in the Target Shopping Center in Delran, New Jersey. And of course, guys, be sure to ask for our guy, Wayne Keener. Thanks to our new sponsor, John Septic Service. John Septic is your family-owned company for all your septic needs in the northern Baltimore area for over 50 years. Give them a call at 410-272-2317. Guys, remember, a straight flush always beats a full house. Thank you, John Septic. Guys, I want to give a big shout-out to our new sponsors on BCP Plus and the podcast, our friends from the Front Row Mafia. JVD, Cleary, Randy, and Total with Tom make up this group of the best pro wrestling fans out there, supporting everyone across promotions. Join their Facebook group over at Front Row Mafia Indie Wrestling Junkies for the latest in their pro wrestling adventures, custom art, wrestler highlights, interactions, fan discussion, and more. On a personal note, I want to thank the boys for their friendship and always supporting myself, Vicious, and the talent. Thank you, fam. The Front Row Mafia. We also got to shout out our new sponsors, the United States Department of Nerds, the USDN Podcast, a podcast presented by Dat Feeling Podcast Network, LLC. The USDN podcast is run by Jeffrey T. Fountain, a BCP Plus contributor, Jennifer Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Tay Stith, and is also home to the Queens of Nerdom podcast. USDN podcast is a safe place for all nerds where they can come to be entertained, learn, and embrace debate. USDN prides itself on being by the people, for the people, and of the people. Here at the USDN, we strive to bring you the best content we can find where you know it comes with the USDN seal of approval. We always strive to give you factual data, and if it's a rumor, we'll always preface it with the rumor alert before dropping the freshest info. However, once those rumors are proven true, you can bet your money we at USDN are slamming the stamp down and giving it the USDN seal of approval. Hit our links on social media for all our merch. This ad is USDN approved.
Yo, listen, platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast. And I think it's the hottest show in the game, cause them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now scissor me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very well premiere episode of the BCP. Ladies and gentlemen, excited to welcome in the co-founder and chief content officer himself of Premier Streaming Network, the 2022 winner of the International Academy of Web Television's Best Host Award, lead commentary over at WrestlePro, multiple time hashtag wrestling fashion winner. The list goes on and on. Our good friend, Mr. Josh Chernoff. What's up, sir? How are you? Applause track.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Plus, I like the lead announcer at WrestlePro.
Oh,
that puts Dave Sturcio in his place.
I wanted to go there, man, but there was some tension between you and Sir. I mean, should we just get into it, man? You suspended him for a show. There was some tension after the showcase.
It was heartbreaking to have to do that, but I'm very, I then lifted the suspension and offered for him to come back, and he just stayed home and watched this awful football team. What the hell are they called?
Cowboys.
Cowboys. That's what it was. Ugh. Yeah, this little rinky-dink team. And he stayed home and watched them. But, you know, I'll be at WrestlePro this month back with Sturcio. And I will do what a professional does. And I will, in between, when we go on intermission, that's when I will check to see how the Eagles are doing.
I thought you were going Giants, bro. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
No,
all right, well, thanks for a few minutes.
Giants?
That's fair. They're having a rough one.
Yeah.
Eagles look good. Eagles. My dad's an Eagles fan. They look good. We did the tour of the stadium. If you ever get a chance on the offseason, do the tour. It's beautiful. Football teams aside, man, I don't want to bury the lead here, Mr. Chernoff, and thank you again for the time, man. But we do a little something on the show here called Wrestling Fashion, and you have time after time with these suits, man, especially at the showcase, the logo in crested, bejeweled, bedazzled, whatever is on the back, on the front, goes with the white suit, man. Tell us about the fashion, man. We always appreciate style here on the show.
So did I win something? Is this...
You got a social media shout out, essentially. We're not in Premier Streaming Network territory yet. Yeah.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I guess, what do you want to know about the fashion?
As a persona too, man, you're doing commentary, you work behind the scenes. Obviously, you dress, you're the top guy over Premier, man, but the fact that, like, hey, this is going to be a statement of me. It's a big personality, because I believe you've been involved in the business for some time.
Yeah. So what happened was, for years and years, I wrestled. I started wrestling, got 24 years. I was 15 when I started wrestling. But I didn't know how to get ring gear made, like real ring gear. So I would order from a catalog where I would get like amateur singlets and stuff for tournaments.
Yeah.
Amateur wrestling singlets. And I would get those singlets and I took them to a local airbrush place and got them airbrushed, and that was it. And as years went on, I then had professional gear made and everything. And when I stopped wrestling in 2008, I kind of was done with the business for a while. I was doing some acting. I was lucky to be on a web series. We did 60 episodes of a show that actually got nominated by the IAWTV awards for best male performance in a comedy, did not win. And that was a chip on my shoulder, which is why I then was really proud to be able to win as best host. for Sosa Chernoff. So, but no, I kind of got away from wrestling. When I got back into it, it was Bill Apter was like, why don't you come host this thing with me, this YouTube show that I do. And so I went and did that, and I was wearing like a dark blue polo shirt. And at the end, he's like, this was great. This was great. He's like, but you need a gimmick. And I'm like, dude, I don't have a gimmick. I'm just me. You know, he's like, you need something. You need to have something stand out. And so I was thinking about it, and I kind of was looking at the airbrush stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do an airbrush like Jimmy Hart airbrush, you know, whole suit. But then I thought, well, what if I just did a tie? Like, what if I just did like an airbrush tie? And I went to the place and I said to the woman, I'm like, I don't know if you remember me. And she's like, yeah, you're the only person I ever made wrestling gear for.
Nice.
So she remembered me. And she's been, her name's Renee, and she's been making my ties ever since. And when it came time for like the bedazzled suits and stuff like that, that was actually StarCast 5. I had a tie to look like for Ric Flair's last match. So I was a backstage interviewer for Ric Flair's last match. And I had a tie that was made to look like his robe. Because I had produced the press conference a month prior in Nashville. And when I was there, I saw the robe. So I snapped a picture of it. I went to Renee and I said, can you make me a tie that looks kind of like this robe?
Yeah, yeah.
I did an amazing job on it. And I showed up and I showed it to Rick Michaels, who makes a lot of the guys' gear and makes Rick's robes now. He made that robe. Wow. He makes Charlotte's robes.
Wow.
And I showed it to him and he's like, oh my God. He's like, that's amazing. He's like, he goes to the guy he was working with, and he's like, hey, do we have any leftover not sequins, what were they? Like rhinestones. Any leftover rhinestones from the robe? He's like, yeah, we have some, you know. And he's like, do you want me to add some like rhinestones? Like, we this robe? I'm like, that would be amazing. So literally backstage at Ric Flair's last match, he's gluing on these rhinestones that were just leftovers that did, you know, when they ran out. And that was super cool. At the end of the night, I thanked him and he comes to me, he goes, hey, come here for a second. And there was a little loose purple rhinestone on Rick's robe, at like the bottom of his robe. And so I took a picture of it. And then took a picture of, he took it off, had it in his hand. I took a picture of it in his hand, trying to get as much like proof, right? And now that tie that Rick signed for me, wow, actually has, there's like one of the flowers in it. The middle flower is a purple rhinestone from the robe actually worn to the ring at his last match. Rhinestone was taken off the robe and put onto my tie. So that is like the centerpiece of my collection, the most bizarre, like it's a one of one, right? It's used on pay-per-view. It's got a piece of a ring used entrance attire. So all of that was really cool. But as far as the rhinestone stuff, so Rick Michaels said to me, he goes, you know, if you ever want something flashier, like a flashy jacket, like kind of like, think like Bobby Heenan, he's like, you know, I'd love to do that. And I thought, you know, I've been doing this heel commentary stuff with WrestlePro, and I'm like, maybe that would be kind of a fun way to differentiate when it's just me as like a real reporter, or it's me showing up for business or hosting things versus me, the heel, you know, commentator. The heel commentator can have the bedazzled logos and the Sosa Chernoff on the back and stuff like that. So that was the kind of the genesis of that. And my first four jackets that I had made were by Rick Michaels. And then Renee made the one who does my tie. She made the showcase, the white suit. So
it was awesome, man.
Yeah, it turned out really well. It was, I just thought, I'm like, what could be more obnoxious than the week after Labor Day to wear all white, right? No white after Labor Day. So I'm going to wear complete, you know, neck to toe. My shoes were white. Like it was it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So, and it was amazing. Guys, again, go back, watch the Wrestling Showcase on Premier Streaming Network. It was an amazing event. You took a bump in that, at least one bump in that suit as well. So I watched that go down. And I had known you mostly from WrestlePro and the commentary, man. I got to meet you and work with you briefly at StarCast. It was good to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
But then I saw you perform at Wrestling Showcase. We did the press conference. I'm like, this guy's like really, and I'm not just saying this because you're here. I'm like, this guy's very good. And when you were in the ring taking the bumps, I'm like, I was pretty good. Like, you know. And then you had gone on to say at the press conference that you had wrestled, and you mentioned it here. Tell us a little bit, not to be cliche here, but what made you want to be an in-ring performer as to opposed now the production and the commentary and whatnot?
I mean, I just grew up being an enormous wrestling fan, and I saw myself as my favorite of all time is Bret Hart. And I think part of it was going back to even the Hart Foundation. I'd see him next to Anvil. And next to Anvil, Bret looks smaller. Next to Hogan and Warrior, Bret looks smaller. And in my mind, I always thought, like, okay, so I could be like a Bret Hart size guy. Now, in reality, Bret Hart's like 6'1" or something, and I'm 5'8". So I didn't quite reach the height that I had hoped. But I think I was just enthralled with that. And then as time went on, I launched my own promotion when I was 15 years old. I tried to create like a little league of pro wrestling, and it worked for a while until the State Athletic Commission shut us down. And then I had my own promotion again. I was the youngest promoter in Pennsylvania history. I ran shows and I wrestled and I trained at the Wild Samoan Training Center. And I actually just saw Afa the Wild Samoan for the first time in way to 15 plus years or so. Which was just so amazing to see him. And he and I have been in touch since then. And obviously his, I know his son works, with Premier and, with Battlefield Pro Wrestling. And, I then went down to OVW. I trained under, Nick Dinsmore and, Rip Rogers and Al Snow. I never trained in ring with Al, but I think the best training I got was sitting next to Al at all the house shows. You know, I'd go, I'd help set up the ring, and then I would sit next to Al and I'd watch all the contracted guys. And then I'd be in the car. I'd drive with Drew McIntyre and Wade Barrett were the guys that I drove with. So you're sitting there, you're talking to them, and they're talking about going over their matches, and they're still relatively green at the time, but they're still, I'm just soaking it all in and learning everything I could from guys like Al. And it was an incredible experience. And then WWE left, and I've been dealing forever with neck issues and stuff. And I have a herniated disc and degenerative disc in my neck. And I have fused C2 and C3 vertebrae in my neck. And so it kind of came to a head in 2008, the end of 2008, and I decided I'd take a break from wrestling. And then, like I mentioned before, that web series opportunity came up, and my real job that I had in commercial real estate, I went in and worked in a family business, and it was, you know, my brother and I ended up taking over the business, and it was just, and I got away from wrestling. I just never went back. And so for me, in a lot of ways, all these years later, like I said, I got back into it with Bill Apter just saying, hey, come hang out. And I realized I was good at interviewing people. And from years of doing other stuff like the web series and like independent films and things like that and working behind the scenes, I had gotten to a point where I could produce these segments by myself. And I think, you know, I went and worked at Fight, and they finally smartened up and realized, like, hey, we don't need to hire a whole crew. This guy can kind of just do it all himself, which is definitely cheaper for them. And, you know, but that's what happened. So I started producing things. And then during the pandemic, with all fairness, to Fight, it's a it's a bunch of people who don't really understand technology. So outside of the people who actually built the tech. So they were blown away by the fact that I was able to do interviews over like Zoom, was like mind boggling. So that got me kind of in the door there. And I worked my way up in that company, but yeah, wanting to be a wrestler was the whole, that's what got me into it. And when I left wrestling, I just couldn't see myself doing anything else. And it's funny because when I told Bill Apter the first time that I wanted to be a wrestler, and he connected me with Off of the Wild Samoan for training. And Bill in the beginning was kind of like, yeah, you know, I see you being like a behind the scenes guy. Like, I think you could be, I remember he said, I see you being like a Shane McMahon. And he was referencing what Shane did behind the scenes, not, you know. And I remember kind of like having like a chip on my shoulder for that, you know, like kind of like, you don't think I could be good enough, like to be a wrestler, I can be a wrestler. And I, it took me years to realize that that wasn't a knock on me. That was a compliment. That was Bill going, I see the mind that you have for this business, the understanding you have for this business, and the business savvy that I have just in general, and which is, you know, very important. A lot of people forget that it's the wrestling business, you know, and there's a, this is business. Like, we have a streaming business here. And a lot of times you're dealing with promoters. Some of them get it, completely get it. And some of them you're trying to explain to them, like, this is a business, you know, this is how you should do it, because this is how you make money, and making money is how you succeed in business. And, you know, so it's been, an interesting journey in the whole industry. But all of that together, as far as like, you know, the in-ring performing and stuff, is just, it's something I love doing, which is why being able to get involved with the showcase after 15 years of not taking a bump, it was so great. And being able to do it with somebody in the Samoan family was just kind of an extra, since that's where I started. That was an extra little bonus for me. And it's so funny the way wrestling works, because taking that kick, and it's like my muscle memory. We didn't practice anything. We didn't walk through it. Thank you. But I mean, and so much of that is just a testament to Jacob Fatu.
Yeah, he's great.
But it was muscle memory to take that kick and take that bump. But I joked with everyone afterwards. I said, but when I hit, that's when my body went, dude, you're 40. You're not 25 anymore. So that was the kind of the difference. I was like, oh man, yeah, this is different. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun to do.
It looked great, man. And I popped for that again in the suit, man. But I like a lot of what you said, you know, about giving that criticism, like, hey, you might be better here instead of here, because, you know, I in a way look up to a lot of y'all. You know, I do the backstage interviews. I do the commentary here and there, man. I find myself sometimes liking the behind the camera stuff instead of the in front of the camera stuff a little bit more. But I love learning from you all, man. And it's so cool to see that you bet on yourself. You know, you took Premier Streaming Network. You know, I'm doing something similar with our website, BCP Plus, shameless promo, man. But you bet on yourself, man. And it's cool to see just the promotions just come to you, man. It's like one of those things, man. And I've seen it myself, where you start something and everyone kind of gets on board. Everyone that you've worked with for the most part, like, wants to be a part of it. They want to help. What can I do to contribute, man? Working with you guys at Starcast was like one of the coolest experiences in this circus of the wrestling business that I've had. Such pros. It was great, man. I'm proud to be wearing the t-shirt today, man. It was so cool. But what has that experience been like for you, man, where you bet on yourself, and the early success of Premier Streaming Network? It's been incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, the experience has been, at times, it's kind of like overwhelming with the amount of interest that we've gotten from people. I don't think in the beginning we really thought that we would have as much content as quickly as we did. And we had a lot of people. We reached out to basically nobody. And I know other places have kind of alluded to or flat out said that we reached out, you know, and tried to poach people or whatever the case. Right. And we are very proud to say, no, we didn't. People just found out there was another place, another option, and wanted to come to us. So that means a lot
with you, and they know what working with you is like too. It's a testament.
And I appreciate that. And I think that, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I take a lot of pride in that. And when the opportunity was presented to me, once I left, of, hey, well, would you want to start? You know, my brother said, hey, I'm planning, I've been planning this, I've been talking to people, I've been doing whatever. I know you're leaving. And what I actually said to him was, I'm done on whatever day it was, is when my deal's done. I put my notice in. They asked me to stay a little longer, so I said I would. But starting, I guess it was like November 1st, then we can talk. Let's talk then, you know? And that was super quick. And we put things together. We had our first conversations November 1st. My brother had been having his own conversations and planning to launch this, but, and part of that came from just him being, when we did the first wrestling showcase, him as a promoter, working with Fight, you'd think it would have been extra good for him because I was director of programming there. But when he saw the complete lack of support and, how some people there went out of their way to not support, it was a very negative experience. And that's kind of what launched his idea of just like, if this is how promoters are being treated, this isn't right. And we're going to find another way. And we're not going to allow them to just have a monopoly over this, which I think is important, I think, in business in general. And, you know, we started this up in from November 1st to launching in January 15th. It's insane what we were able to do. And it was a skeleton crew of like three people. And I think it's a testament to how hard we were willing to work. But also a testament to the people that came on board, you know, those initial, it means a lot anytime anybody wants to come to us and bring their content to us. But I'll tell you that initial group that we launched with, that means the world to me, because those were people with no proof of concept, no anything other than us going, hey, here's a basic drawing of what our site's going to look like and what our, and here's what our plans are. And it was just trusting me and trusting Paul and trusting my brother. And it was, so that was really awesome. And, you know, it's, so what I think I'm answering your question, but what, you know, what has it been like? It's been a great experience. It's been a lot of hard work. It's not an easy job. It's not, I remember talking to a promoter once when I worked at the other place and they go, well, what do you guys do? You just kind of, you know, turn on the feed, like you're not really doing anything. And it's funny because I was like, well, that's not true. But what I realized was, we do, this tiny crew does so much more than the other places do. Just because we really, I mean, the wrestling showcase, I'll give you full disclosure here. I pitched that to Fight, as exactly what it was.
Yeah.
This go around. I pitched it to Fight a couple of years ago and I said, we should have a Fight championship belt and we should have, an event. I didn't call it the wrestling showcase. I hadn't come up with that yet, but I said, we should have an event that takes all of these promotions that are on Fight and showcase them all. And really have this one night that's this giant Fight event. And I was basically like laughed out of the meeting.
Really?
Yeah. Keith Evans, who works there, who's a
Keith Evans. Using words carefully.
Would not understand. Why would you want a belt? Why would you want a belt? And then, but he couldn't understand a lot of things. So, it pretty much, we were planning this, trying to put this together. And then they very quickly were like, no, you guys are, you know, yeah, we're not going to do this. It's not a, there's no, nobody wants this. Well, I can tell you now, having done this with Premier, the promoters loved it because it showed that we were investing in them. And that was my point. The reality of it is you have to show your promoters that you care about them, that you are invested in them. unless you're not, unless you don't care about them and you're not invested in them, in which case then you don't have to put on an event like that. You don't have to feel like you want them to feel important. We want them to feel important. They matter to us. So that's kind of the, you know, but yeah, so it was a lot of these, I had a lot of ideas that were shot down left and right. And so it did become a time where I was like, well, if I think I'm so right with this, put my money where my mouth is.
Yes.
And, you know, the only way you can really prove, hey, I was right, was to actually do it. So, you know, Premiere in a lot of ways has kind of been this proof of concept to ourselves of just, you know, we knew that could be done better. We knew it could be done correctly. We knew it could be done in a way that benefited everybody. And we've proven that. And I'm really proud of that.
You absolutely should be. You said a couple great things, man. First of all, I can't go on and on about enough about how the wrestling showcase was great. I love it when, you know, everyone has heat with people. Even the podcasters have heat at this point, but everyone has heat with everybody in wrestling. But I love when companies build bridges instead of tear each other down. And I love the concept of the wrestling showcase. That's why I was very confused that people wouldn't get it, man, because to me it was brilliant. You had the title. Cardona got it. We'll talk about that. That's another story for another day.
He earned it.
Here we go.
I was there. I sacrificed my body, my soul for Matt Cardona.
Here we go. Guy's brilliant. The guy's brilliant. But that being said, I digress. You mentioned production and you had a great point because people are like, oh, don't you just hit the feed? I've worked and we got to shout out GPW. Fantastic. I've learned so much from them. Getting to work at StarCast, you know, we drove the equipment. We got there. We didn't go to the hotel. We set up, went out to dinner, set up, show. It was awesome. It was legit. This is not a knock on any indie or anything like that, but just very super professional. Great working with the talent, man. I got to work for you guys. I got to work for Conrad's team. Every talent that I worked with said, yes, what do you need? You know, watch Premiere or watch StarCast on Premiere. Every single AEW talent, every single one said yes. It was an incredible experience, man. The Mikey Ruckus panel was phenomenal with the music. You hosted that one. Even when Jeff Hardy, when he was, dude, it was my favorite part. When Jeff Hardy was performing, you could almost see like tears in his eyes because he loves music so much. And that's what he wants, you know, and he's now out there performing. He had that electric acoustic version of Obsolete. It was so cool, man. Could you just tell us about, you know, what it meant to get the tap on the shoulder to do StarCast and what that experience was like for you?
Yeah. So I was actually on vacation. It was the first vacation I had taken in a couple of years because I never took a vacation while I was at Fight. I tried to take one and I ended up working every single day that I was there. Ironically, editing the previous StarCast. But I'm on vacation and again, kind of working every day because that's just kind of, you know, can't really blame Fight. That's me. That's my mentality.
Right. I get it.
So I'm working, this past summer while I'm on vacation and I go to my brother and Paul and I said, all right, hey, I'm on vacation for 2 weeks. I've worked every day the first week. And they kept telling me that, dude, just take vacation. Just go relax, enjoy your time with your family. But there's work to be done, right? We have a business to run. So I said, all right, you know what? Everything's kind of in place. Events are where they are. You guys got this handled. I can take a week. I'll take a week. And about 2 hours later, I get a call from my brother. Hey, Conrad just texted me. And, would you guys be interested in doing StarCast? And so, yeah, the rest of my week was pretty much working on that. And it's great because I'm on a call with Conrad. I'm like, hey, man, what are you up to? Oh, I'm sitting here. I'm on vacation. Yeah. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm sitting here on vacation and we're just working. And it's a mindset. And, you know, that's it. That's part of being in this industry is it's a 24/7 job. And, you know, you can burn out from it, but you know, if you keep your perspective right and you take care of yourself, you have to be able to give it your all in this industry, because it's an industry that just never stops. There's no off season. It just never stops. And getting that call from Conrad was professionally and personally, it meant a lot to me. Because I had pretty much I believed that I was a very important piece of the puzzle that allowed StarCast 5 in Nashville to come off as smoothly as it did, and the roast to Ric Flair and Ric Flair's last match, but specifically StarCast. I felt that I was very an integral part of that, and in doing graphics for Flair's last match, I created his entrance music and his entrance video and Jeff's entrance video and a bunch of other ones throughout the show, and I did all the lower thirds, the graphics that. So it was a lot of stuff. And I knew Conrad appreciated the work that I did. I knew it. He said it. It wasn't a question. He was very appreciative. But this meant so much more when it was almost like he looked at it and said, okay, I know who was responsible making sure this thing came off well, and I know who took the credit for it. And I'd rather go with the guy who was responsible than the guy who took the credit.
Yes.
And that meant a lot to me. And, you know, we heard from his crew, from his team, nothing but, you know, this is the best StarCast we ever had. This is, you know, we've never had, never been so easy to work with people. And again, it's not that hard, man. Just work hard, and just treat people with respect. Like it's things that, you know, I wish other people in this industry understood. And thankfully we've been lucky enough to interact. You mentioned GPW Productions, interact with people who get what it is to just work hard and treat people right. And that's it. I mean, there's no reason to try and big dog somebody. There's no reason. It's just, you know, it's the same reason why I'm there running a show. My brother's running a show. And we're there carrying the tables and setting up the chairs and doing the things like that, because you have to, you know, when you're a startup company, they always joke like the CEO cleans the bathrooms.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know, that's it. We don't sit there on our high horse and, you know, we're better than this, and these lowly people will do this for us. No, man, we're in there. We are literally the ones uploading the footage. We're literally the ones paying our promoters, which, by the way, what a novel idea to pay your promoters. But you know, it's, and it's going back and forth. Like right now, like you, I think are the first interview I've ever done in my actual office.
Oh, we're not worthy.
Most people don't even know that I have an actual office, because usually I'm doing stuff from my office at home, which has all my ties displayed behind me and all that. But today I'm working in my actual office, and it's which really is something that hasn't happened much since the pandemic. But it's nice to be able to have like natural light, and because my home office is in my basement, so it's nice to be able to know that it's still daytime. But yeah, man, it was an awesome experience being able to work with that team. Conrad's team is second to none. The association with AEW was fun to be able to have that, have Tony Khan on stage with a premier mic in his hand. And Tony was very gracious, and you know, it was an awesome experience. It really was. You know, Conrad and I are due to chat soon and continue that relationship and what else we're doing together. And I think that StarCast will look back on that as just kind of the start of where, you know, a year from now you'll look at it and go, okay, this is what was happening, you know? And so that's exciting. Hopefully we get there.
That sounded like a teaser if I've ever heard one before. So we'll see what comes of that.
Like, man. Will it into existence, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're killing it, man, because you talk about what that tap on the shoulder from Conrad meant to you. Now, you know, from your streaming network, we see Impact involved at times, man. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, I was intimidated working with, not nervous, but like intimidated, like, oh, we're working with Conrad's team, we're working with Premier. And everyone, like you said, was just so kind and nice. And we got from A to B, you know, we weren't, you know, we just went right to work. It was such a great experience, man. But then, you know, you have also, I'm sure it's very validating when Freddie Prinze, I don't know, the likes of a Freddie Prinze Jr. signs on, man. I mean, for you, how validating was that?
That was awesome. You know, that was something we originally, Freddie was talking to my brother about after the first wrestling showcase event that we did, that was just a tournament style thing. And after that, my brother, before he had the, this is kind of what I think led to the idea of him starting this, this network, which he really, because my brother was not a, not on camera the way I was, and stuff, he doesn't usually get the credit. But this was his kind of brainchild, you know, to do this. And a lot of it came from, you know, he went to talk to Freddie had been talking about wanting to do this, this promotion and starting a promotion and was really passionate about it. So my brother, Fred, was kind of just, I guess they figured they'd bond over their names and, you know, they get on a call together and they just start chatting and having a really hitting it off. And the idea was my brother was originally coming to him going, hey, if you're starting a promotion, you know, I got to sit under the learning tree of Jeff Jarrett for the wrestling showcase. And cause Jeff worked Gorilla with my brother on that. And,
oh, wow.
And he's like, you know, I've learned a lot. And I'd love to be a part of the team. He wasn't coming in. I'd love to run it for you. He's just saying, I'd love to come in and be part of the team. I know that I can kind of help, navigate some stuff. And the more they talked, it was like, yeah, well, you know, not ready to do this promotion yet, but let's keep in touch. And then so when my brother kind of had the idea, and I'm putting words in his mouth, but I think this is when he kind of had the idea of like, well, we could do this promotion and where's it going to air? And then what if we had a place where it could air? And what if it was kind of an in-house production? And what if I created this network where everybody could come in who was miserable wherever else they were? And you know, so that all kind of came together. And I think one of those meetings with Freddie, he was just loving what we were doing and just kind of threw out the guys, look, I want to be as involved as you guys want me to be kind of deal. And we're like, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? And then that kind of very quickly became a conversation of let's do this thing. Let's do this together. And, you know, we had some original content planned with Freddie and then the strike happened. And so that's kind of been backburnered, that hopefully is going to, you know, sooner than later, we'll get into production on that. But, and then his promotion is still, he doesn't want to rush anything. He wants to do it right. And I respect the hell out of that. And, he's been amazing to work with. He's got more passion, but also a clear understanding of this industry, that I feel like a lot of people don't realize he has. And then his time in the entertainment world, like, you know, he understands entertainment separate from pro wrestling,
right?
So that he can kind of appreciate pro wrestling for what it is, which I know in his mind, and I agree, it when done correctly is the greatest form of entertainment there is. You know, so, when done correctly, that's a very important caveat, but, yeah, so no, it's been amazing. It's validating to have a guy, of Freddie's stature, of Freddie's, as connected and respected in the industry as he is, for him to want to work with us, because he could have turned around and said, oh no, this is a really cool idea. All right, I'm going to call this one, this one, or this one. And let's go launch a network. Or, hey, yeah, I'm going to call, you know, an established network and see if they want me to come on board. And he wanted to work with us. So that was very cool.
Good problem to have. That's amazing. And he's gone on record, or reports have come out, like, like you said, he's a visionary. He's brilliant. Was responsible for saying, hey, like, I think Jeff Hardy's the guy, you know, I think Jeff Hardy should be the guy to be the world champion and stuff like mm-hmm. that, man. And we saw how much money they made with that. You know, you reference it, being a business so much. And I did want to ask you this, man, you know, up and coming commentator, I feel like I'm getting better as I'm getting the reps, different places I work, whether it's in post or during the live shows. What advice would you have for some up and coming commentators? You know, I know your persona. Are you more of a fan of the, you know, like the roles in commentary? Cause I feel like in wrestling, some things are just like sacred and are like, you know, if you go against that, it's sacrilege. I personally feel the business has evolved in certain ways, man. Just kind of your philosophy on commentary and any advice you might have for somebody.
So yeah, my philosophy on it is I've done, you know, straight man play by play. I've done heel color commentary. I love doing the heel color commentary thing. I think you know, the greatest compliment Dave Starchi and I have ever received is when people have compared us to Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. And I will tell you right now, I could do this every day for the next 80 years. I will never be as I will never come close to the level of a Bobby Heenan. And so it's very important that people understand that I am not attempting to do a Bobby Heenan cosplay. I'm not attempting to, you know, and he's not trying to be Gorilla Monsoon in any way. I think why people are associating that is the chemistry that he and I have. And I think that they're not, and it's also my sarcastic personality and the way that I will act is reminiscent. And I'm sure in many ways influenced by Bobby Heenan, an enormous fan of Bobby Heenan. But one thing I would deter people from doing is don't try and play a character. And a lot of this is, you know, I'm also a trained comedic actor. So it's, and I don't mean that to be this, you know, nose in the air, you know, I trained at this, you know, whatever. But what I'm saying is
it adds to it.
I know how to become that character, how to be that Josh Chernoff heel commentating character. And it's not me trying to, hey, what if I kind of act like this or act like that? I just will go out there and turn it on. And the easiest thing when I work with Dave or when I work with AJ McKay, the easiest thing is to be able to, before we go out there, just, hey man, what's off limits, you know? And, yeah. You know, I remember AJ McKay was like, you know, hey, you want to make fun of me for being bald? And I said, you want to make fun of me for being short? Like, whatever it is, like, let's, you know, because AJ's, you know, this giant tree of a person that's so much bigger than me. So like, it's like, let's go out and let's have fun doing that. And it allowed me that freedom to be able to call him a big thumb, you know, and just, you know, say these things without worrying like, oh, is he going to be upset? And I think WrestlePro has been an amazing thing. You know, the relationship with Dave and the relationship with the locker room at WrestlePro. I think in the beginning, some of the talent was a little like, is he kind of burying me? Is he doing whatever? And
yeah, I think
once they got to know me personally, and they got to see what a drastic difference I am in real life versus that character in commentary, a lot of them started just like, I think a lot of them wanted to be healed just so I would, you know, be in their corner in that regard. And, but I think they got what it was that I was doing. And what I'm doing is never trying to take away from the talent. What I'm trying to do is just make it entertaining, make the, you know, I think Jim Ross talks about, you know, they make the music and he makes the lyrics. And so I'm just trying to make the lyrics entertaining. I'm trying to make sure that, you know, what I'm providing is going to allow, it's going to be fodder for Dave Sturcio to be able to do what he does best, which is, you know, call that action and be engaged and believe what he's calling. So my advice is A, don't be someone you're not. Figure out who are you, what can you contribute as a commentator. Find that personality of who you are, turn it up. You always hear that, right? You know, the best ones are the personalities turned up to 10. So find that, you know, and be that person. Go into it with the understanding that no matter how good you think you are, you're not as good as you think you are. I'm not as good as I think I am on time. So I'll be sitting there thinking I'm, you know, man, I'm really killing it. And I'll go back and listen afterwards and go, okay, that I got myself over too much and should have been more about the match there. Oh, okay, I interrupted here or whatever. You know, be willing to learn. I always have this saying where I say, you should never be the smartest person in the room or the dumbest person in the room. Because you're the dumbest person in the room, you probably shouldn't be in that room. If you're the smartest person in the room, go find another room so you can keep learning and evolving. And that to me is to continue to learn, continue to critique yourself. That's the other advice on it. It's just, you know, constantly be growing, always be trying to better yourself. Listen to your stuff back, not in an egotistical way. Listen as your biggest critic. And then having said all that, don't be too hard on yourself either. Right. Understand that this is a learning experience. Understand, like anything else, it's, as you mentioned, the reps. No better advice than that. Get your reps in. But figure out who you are, what you want to be, and where you want to go. Because using the analogy of reps in the gym, you know, if you want to build your biceps, you know, you want to get the, you got to get those reps in. But it's not going to be beneficial to you if you're doing curls wrong. So make sure that you are constantly trying to figure out exactly how to do it, improve your ability of what it is that you're doing, and then, you know, go from there and be willing to put yourself out there too, you know? And then while being respectful and being nice, also have a little bit of an ego. When you reach a point where you go, I know what I'm worth. I know that I know what I'm bringing to the table. Don't be afraid to, you know, to let that be known and to let people know that you are contributing a lot to that product.
Really, really well said. I took a lot from that, man. And I always am a big fan of you and Dave. Guys, again, WrestlePro Premier Streaming Network, all the StarCast Premier Streaming Network, shameless promo. Mr. Chernoff, I do want to be respectful of your time, man. I appreciate a few minutes. But before we get out of here, I have to ask you this one, man. You work with a lot of great independent promotions. Is there anyone that you see right now, maybe in WrestlePro or anyone else on the indies, that you're like, they have something, they're going to be the next guy? We've seen Casey Navarro over the years. He's ready to go. The rise of Vargas, he has come so far. Dion Roosman, now after the injuries, man. The way Gipke has reinvented himself, I think is brilliant, man. Yeah. Is there anyone, a guy or girl, that you have your eye on that they're like, they might be the next big thing, or you've been watching closely?
So there's a few of them. I will say Danny Moff has created this group in WrestlePro that I think there's guys. The first time I saw Victor Benjamin, the Savage Gentleman, the first time I saw him in the ring was at a WrestlePro show. He was doing one of their like pre-show, like dark matches. And I was just like he caught my attention. And I'm just like, this guy has something. I felt a very similar way when I saw Trax, when I was first doing commentary, and was just like, this dude has something. And it wasn't clicking. Something wasn't clicking, right? And now that group that they've got there with the two of them and Moth and Sean Donovan, and like, you know, kind of bringing that Sense of Slaughter group back. I see a lot of potential there for them as a group. I think a guy like Moth, and not just because on air, you know, we're best buddies, but he is just untapped potential. I just still to this day, there is a realism and a belief to him that you don't see all the time. I've done backstage interviews with him where I'm like, he might just punch me in the face.
God bless you.
You know, like, I get it. I'm in there going like, all right, I have no idea where this starts and stops. Yeah. And so I see that. And then on the other side, I see a Casey Navarro, yeah, somebody that I think you're going to hear more and more about him as time goes on. I think also LSG is just waiting for that opportunity to break out. He's got, I think he kind of has that it factor. There's a lot of guys, his group in general, there's a lot of guys in there. Colton Charles, who's a big dude.
Good kid, yeah.
Has just grown leaps and bounds in his ability in the last year. So I look at a guy like that and I go, like, he's a big man who can move, who has the facials, who has the, you know, so it, there's a lot. You know, the dark STG thing, you know, is super cool. I think that there's so much that can be done with that. And yeah, there's a lot of talent out there. And that's what's cool about what we do, is just there's so much talent and they all overlap in the promotions. And that's why we created the men's and women's premier titles, is like, we want to encourage this overlapping, but we want it to be, for lack of a better term, we want it to be canon. We want what happens at WrestlePro to matter at Battlefield Pro.
We need more of that. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we need more of that. Yes.
I want, if something happens at House of Glory, I want that to matter at Immortal Championship Wrestling and vice versa. It's something that I think Cardona has done so well. When Matt Cardona shows up somewhere, he is the same guy who showed up everywhere else. It's why he brings that premier title with him wherever he goes. You know, it's he is the indie god. And I think people need to follow in his footsteps in that regard, to kind of tie everything together, because there's no point in having a million little promotions that have their own universe. They should all be together, because now you've got something. Now there's something that really, now if something happens on this show, you feel like you need to tune in to next week's show, because it's also a way to create this weekly episodic TV without having weekly episodic TV. You know what I mean? So there's that. And then we're trying to tie it together too. We've got the Wrestling Hour debuting. I believe we're hoping to have it by the end of the year, maybe even the end of November, with myself and Dave Sturcio. It's going to be kind of a throwback to that, you know, primetime style, where we're going to really dive into our library. We've got this amazing library at Premiere. So we're going to dive into that and really show people what we've amassed here, what we've been able to put together. Because the library is incredible. And we've got stuff we haven't even announced yet that we have under contract that is just... Ooh. Unbelievable content. So stuff that's never streamed before. So we're excited about it. Yeah.
Love it, man. Very, very well said. I still think you may or may not have had something to do with Cardona winning that title. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it there.
What I know is this: Matt Cardona was supposed to face Colt Cabana. Cardona won the Wrestling Showcase tournament a year earlier that gave him an automatic spot. The rest of the team was able to come up and find Freddie Prinze and my brother and Paul, bless their hearts, all came up with Colt Cabana, right? Wonderful. So it's Matt Cardona and Colt Cabana. And I said, that's fine. I think that's great. So let me ask you a question.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough.
If the match is Matt Cardona versus Colt Cabana and Colt Cabana doesn't show up, there's a term for that. Matt Cardona would win by
forfeit.
And if the winner wins the Premier Streaming Network Men's Championship, then the winner by forfeit becomes the Premier Streaming Network Men's Champion. All I'm saying is, while I get that my brother's thought process was, okay, we need to make sure we give something to the fans who paid to attend and paid to watch. So let's work together with House of Glory management and put this whole match together. I looked at it and said, here's a dude who should have won this title by forfeit because Colt Cabana didn't show up. And now you're putting him against two other people. This just was, and you're making him defend his House of Glory championship, which he was not prepared. He trained for Colt Cabana. He didn't train for Charles Mason and Jacob Fatu. I mean, come on. These are completely different. Would you train the same way for a one-on-one with Colt Cabana as you would for against those other guys? So I looked at it and said, this wasn't fair. And when I saw the referee doing just a terrible job, I tried to get out and give him a talking to and just try to say, like, hey man, you really, you know, out of respect to all of these fans, you owe it to them to do a better job. And that's when I was assaulted by Jacob Fatu. And Matt Cardona then asked me to hand him the championship. So I went to hand him the title, and Jacob Fatu moved out of the way and launched Matt Cardona into me. And inadvertently, it looked as though I was trying to hit Fatu with the title.
I see.
That was never the case. And so I hit Cardona with the title, which was heartbreaking for me to see that happen. I never wanted that to happen to him. And then I turn around to try and excuse myself to go back to the announce table, and I get kicked in the face by this giant Samoan. And after that, you know, I didn't play a role in anything. All I know is Jacob Fatu then tried to assault Steph DeLander or something happened there, and Matt Cardona thankfully was able to be victorious. So yeah, I mean, you spin it however you want. I encourage people to go to watchonpremiere.com, check out the wrestling showcase. You tell me what happened, but I was just merely there to try and keep things right down the middle, as I always do. You know that.
I'm a stats guy. You almost had me convinced there. Very, very well said, man.
That is it. And this goes back to the announcing thing, right? Of how you can do like advice. The best advice I can give is borrowed from George Costanza. Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
It's it's not lying if you believe it.
There.
And
always a heel.
Yeah. Kind of,
yeah.
That's it, man. It's you have to believe it. But in all seriousness, that's it. Just that's everyone, a baby face, a heel, whatever you're doing in wrestling. That's what makes you successful is you can either go out there and you can play announcer or play wrestler, or you can go out and you can believe it and you can commit. And if you commit to it, it's just like acting. If you commit to it, do you want to watch a TV show with a bunch of actors who are playing the role of something? Or do you want to watch a TV show with the actors who have committed to this, who are living this, who need to take a couple of minutes after their scene to get out of that character? It's a real thing. People laugh and are like, oh, method acting and stuff. It doesn't have to be this deep, ridiculous thing, but get into it, believe in what you're doing. And, you know, and that's how you come off as being believable.
Brilliant, man. And there's just another bit of advice I got from you right there. I really appreciate you sharing that. Yep. Mr. Chernoff, thank you for sharing so much of your time, man. But before we get out of here, we're all about the shameless promo. Tell everyone where they can follow you. Sign up for Premier Streaming Network. All the StarCasts are now available. So many great promotions. WrestlePro, Battlefield, the list goes on and on. House of Glory. Tell everyone how they can sign up.
Yeah, go to watchonpremiere.com. And just sign up. It's free to download the app. It's free to make an account. There's some content on there that is free. The majority of the content right now is part of Premier Plus, which is only $9.99 a month. And you get thousands and thousands of hours of content. You do get every single StarCast ever, every stage show. It's almost 100 stage shows with some of the biggest names in wrestling history. So definitely check that out. You get a number of these pay-per-view events included. Some are not included. Some, like Bound for Glory, will not be a part of Premier Plus, but will be available on Premier. So definitely watch it. There's no better place for you to watch Bound for Glory than on Premier. You're not going to get a better user experience anywhere else. Just watch on premier.com and sign up. And stay tuned also, because we are constantly evolving. So there's going to be more ad-supported content. So, you know, as we're trying to read the subscription model, there's some people who love it, don't want anything to do with ads. They want to pay for a subscription so there's no ads and they can watch their stuff, like how Premier Plus is right now. And then there's people who go like, I have enough subscriptions, I can't do it, I'll sit through commercials, I just want to watch the content. And we're working on making that a reality for you real soon. So just go make that account, and then you'll be the first to know. Follow us on social media. I'm at Sosa Chernoff across the board. We are at Watch on Premiere on X. And we're Premiere Streaming Network on Instagram and Facebook. So check us out on there. And we got some great reels with clips of stuff. Also check out our YouTube page, because we're on there right now I want to say it's like PSN Wrestling. I really should know this, and I'm going to have to figure it out. But like, we just dropped two full stage shows from StarCast on for free on our YouTube this week. Tony Khan's and the Kawada stage show. So you never know what from our library is just gonna boom, just show up for free on that YouTube. So we're so close to hitting 20,000 subscribers. So I would love if any of you watching this or listening to this would join us over on YouTube and become one of those subscribers. Help us get to 20,000.
Love it. I'll go do it right after this, and we'll put the link in the description. Mr. Chernoff, thank you for sharing your wisdom, taking the time for us, man. Appreciate you, and just continued success moving forward. Thank you for the time, man.
Thanks. Likewise, man. Thank you for having me, and continued success with everything you're doing.
Thank you, bro. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.